Killers of the Flower Moon is now on digital.
Oh my God.
From director Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro.
You got one more chance.
I'm coming after you, son.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Buy it now on digital.
This story is sponsored by Novavax. Last year, COVID was the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S., according to the CDC. Vaccines help protect people from getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and possibly even dying from COVID. The CDC recommends individuals 6 months and older get an updated COVID vaccine. Dr. Jose Terrados, emergency medicine physician, partnered with Novavax and Healthy Women on the Choose to Protect campaign to build awareness, educate, and encourage individuals to learn about COVID vaccine options to help protect themselves and their families.
The virus that causes COVID continues to change and may cause disruptions to our way of life. The FDA expects that COVID annual immunization schedules may lead to enhanced public health. Staying up to date with COVID vaccines is especially important for the elderly and people with severe health conditions. Ask your healthcare provider about your vaccine options today.
To learn more about COVID vaccine options, visit choosetoprotect.com. Dr. Terrados is a paid spokesperson for Novavax.
It's the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Try the Tour B ball today. By the club at Sea Palms. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community. And by Club Car, leader in sport utility and personal vehicles. On the show, we're going to talk with Gary and Dana DeSalvo of Popticals about some new sunglasses that are going to make the ability to see better on the golf course. We'll talk with them in just a minute. We're also going to talk with Mark Raquel of Club Car about their visit to Rome and the Ryder Cup. Also, the PGA Show, which is coming up in January. And then their sponsorship of the Club Car Championship at the Landings in Savannah. And then we'll also talk with Carrie O'Neill, who is also a golf instructor and an author. And we're talking to him about seven principles to a healthy body for great golf, the swing body connection. But let's go to our next interview, our first interview with Gary DeSalvo of Popticals. Gary, welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Thanks, Rich. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. I'm excited. You've got some big news. Why did you and your wife, Dana, decide to buy Popticals?
Well, it's just, we came across an unbelievable opportunity to, you know, help build the brand. Popticals are extremely innovative sunglasses. Not only do they offer NIDEF lenses, which are Carl Zeiss lenses, offer superior clarity. They also have a unique mechanism for storage, which allows them to slide together and they can fit right in your pocket. So, you know, the quality of the glasses themselves, the innovative technology, it just was the right fit at the right time, and we're excited about the future.
Well, obviously being excited is good, but most golf sunglasses that I've seen are either the yellow or I guess the brown, and yours are not. Tell us more about that.
Right. So Popticals in general, we have a lot of different products is our golf offering. And you're right. They are a little unique. They have a purple and these purple and violet lenses. And the reason for that is that our eyes are extremely receptive to the color green. Golf courses are consumed with greens everywhere you look, and we don't usually realize it, but it is having an impact on our vision. And what the purple lens does, the purple and violet lens, it actually mutes the green colors that we're seeing, or filters out the green saturation on the course, and allows us to more clearly see subtle nuances across the course, and specifically on the putting green, where you can see subtle differences. You'll see a slight different color shades of green, which are going to represent, you know, like I said, minor contours or ridges. It'll help you more easily identify the grain pattern if you're in an area that makes sense. It also help you determine the slope. So the purple lenses and violet lenses, they really kind of give you a different perspective and a different view. And a lot of those other lenses that you've talked about, or you mentioned, like the yellow, and some people even use a brown type of lens.
Right.
They don't have quite the impact, right? It's different from the perspective of what you'll see with the purple lens is it's kind of making it more of that color that looks a little bit, makes the ground look a little bit, almost like the grass is a little deader, but it lets you see those patches. Couple other little things that are unique about the lens. I mean, a lot of people buy golf sunglasses that are polarized, and we absolutely don't recommend that. The non-polarized combination with the purple lens is what I think really brings it all together, because you know, polarization in sunglasses, specifically golf sunglasses, what they're going to do is it's going to flatten the image a little bit, and it's going to affect your depth perception as well as your peripheral vision. And so with the non-polarization, you won't quite get that flattening. You're going to be able to see, you want to see all the nuances of the course. So
right.
The non-polarization helps highlight that, whereas the polarization would flatten it. So that's another unique thing from a lot of the glasses that are on the market right now for golf.
And that's because they're purple and violet tinted lenses. Never knew that before. And this technology that you have in being purple and violet, as you said, helps you see every pattern, every slope, every contour, and really will help on the greens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why purple? Just out of curiosity, why purple?
It's, you know, it's funny. One of the first things once people put their glasses on with the purple, they recognize immediately the difference that they're seeing.
Okay.
But the first reaction is, you know, why purple, right?
Yeah.
And purple specifically, it's not like we just decided it was the color purple because we like that color. That's the one that's going to help mute the green color the most. And I'll tell you what's obvious to one of the first things that was obvious to me during testing was I was down in Florida playing around, and about five holes in, I noticed that I was definitely seeing the course differently. But just like anything, like a brand new club, right? You have to work your way into getting used to it, right? It's not just a piece of equipment that's going to magically change your game. But one of the first things I noticed was around the fifth hole, I took my glasses off and I felt like I was being interrogated. And it wasn't because it was overly bright. The green was just so popping off the ground into my eyes. Like I had to cover them for a second. My eyes adjusted to the purple lens. And that was the moment I knew that this is really doing exactly what it's supposed to do by letting me see the ground more clearly.
And did it improve your golf game?
You know, it's funny. I haven't played as much golf this year as I'd like. Huh. I will tell you, I think I may have played a few rounds over the summer when I could sneak out. One of the first things I noticed immediately was my distance control was significantly better. And without playing for a long time, you know, that's one of the things that you would, you know, that's usually touch and feel, right? You get comfortable with your distance control.
Right.
We're working with a golf instructor right now to help build some education, and you know, was talking to him about this, and he's also got a background in eye care, and you know, it's the depth perception aspect of it. Like naturally, I'm able to see. I've been able to see or have a better idea of how far I was away subconsciously, and it helped with my distance control just because of the depth perception. So. That's something that kind of happened automatically. But as with anything, once you put these glasses on, you're going to see the course a little bit different. And we're working on some education that we hope to get out in the next few weeks or month that we'll package with the glasses that help you understand and learn about, hey, this is now that I can see this, what am I actually looking for? And how can this help me become a better putter?
Right.
Because you will notice a difference and you'll get used to it, like I said, with any club. But the more we can help that process along, I think you'll really see the benefit.
You bet. I mean, you know, us golfers, us that are not on the tour and play, you know, as much as we possibly can, we're looking for any advantage that we can possibly get.
That's right. I mean, a lot of this is selfish on my part, right? Like once I got the glasses, I'm like, how do I don't have the best vision. So I was wanted to find out how I could best utilize these. So that's why we went and looked at the eye care industry and some different professional instructors to say, hey, let's test these out and let's build something that not just says, here's a great pair of glasses, but here's how you can effectively use them.
Right. One of the things that I wanted to ask you is give us the website so our listeners can go to it and see the different styles and take a look at them.
Yes. So the website is popticals.com. So P-O-P-T-I-C-A-L-S. And if you go to, you can go to popticals.com and see the entire site. But if you want to go straight to golf, you go popticals.com/golf and you'll see the glasses and a little bit more about the technology behind them.
And Gary, how many different styles do you have of the popticals?
Popticals in general, we have 10 different frame styles. Right now, we have another one coming out in January and about 135 different variations of colors and patterns. For golf specifically, we have 9 different styles and mostly all with the black frame. It's more fit for, you know, your personal preference, your face style, et cetera, in size. So.
And right now they're not prescription, but I also heard from Joe, your PR guy, that you were working on that, that that could be something that could be done in the future for those that need prescriptions.
Right. We get this question a lot and some people get very passionate about it. And I'm a prescription guy too, and I want them just as bad. Yeah, we are working on it. It's going to take a little bit longer because one of the other key features of the glasses, they offer a wraparound function. And again, there's a lot of benefits to that on the course with your peripheral vision as well.
Right.
And it makes it a little bit more difficult to put a prescription in. So we're working with a couple labs right now to get that done. I honestly think that it's going to be a little while. We're hoping by this time next year we'll have an offering there, but we have to see how development goes. It's much trickier than I thought it would be with this style of frame.
And that's because of the curvature of the frame?
Right. That's what makes it difficult. If we were to have a normal sunglass, you know, more flatter frame, which we're looking at possibly doing that in place, but we would lose some of the wraparound benefits. That'd be much easier. But I guess the center of your it makes your prescription a little more complicated because the center of everybody's vision is not exactly in the same spot. And the curvature, when you have that curvature, it moves the center more off. So it just becomes a more complicated process and much more expensive to the consumer when they're buying them. And we're trying to find a better solution than, you know, charging 3 times as much for a prescription than the glasses actually cost.
Right. And what is the price point that you're asking for the popticals?
They retail for $179 for the golf offering.
Okay.
And right now, for the holidays, we have 20% off by visiting the site. So if your listeners hear that, they can jump on and maybe get a discount.
And you also talked earlier, Gary, about the case. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the case is made out of extremely durable plastic. It is, each case for each pair of glasses is designed to be as small as it needs to be to fully protect the glasses. And the reason the case is as durable as it is just so that, you know, obviously these glasses are made for active people who are athletic or outside or moving around a lot. And so if it's rolling around in a bag or let's say in the cart, you know, it falls over, it's not going to hurt these at all. The cases are pretty small compared to what you would possibly think or what you've had in the past with other sunglasses. I make a joke that as we walk around the office here and back and forth to the warehouse and so forth, at any given time, I could have 3 pairs in my jean pockets and not even realize it. So it makes it pretty unique versus, and especially, you know, with Dana here, when we go out, you know, myself, the kids, we all throw glasses in the purse now, but she doesn't have to carry a giant bag anymore. She's in a, you know, one of those ones that goes across over or whatever.
Right.
It's a little purse with two or three pairs in it. So it makes it truly portable, extremely portable.
And so obviously they're going to fit very, very easily into anybody's golf bag, whether it be a cart bag or a carry bag.
Cart bag, carry bag, even in the small wallet pocket of the bag. Right. It's going to fit in there nice and easy.
Okay. Well, give us the website again so our listeners can make note.
Popticals.com, P-O-P-T-I-C-A-L-S.
And you also said there's Popticals/golf. Did I get that right?
If you go /golf, it just takes you right to the golf page.
Okay, awesome. Well, Gary, thank you for being with us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Podcast. I appreciate your time and looking forward to purple and violet. I mean, it sounds great. And one other question. You have prescription glasses. When you wear your popticals, does that hurt your vision, or do you still see what you need to see without your prescription?
Well, I actually wear contacts.
So you're fine.
So,
gotcha.
Right. Yeah. When I'm doing something more active, I don't want to have glasses on.
Gotcha.
Everybody doesn't have that luxury. And I will tell you this, one other thing I'd mentioned just about the purple and violet. A lot of people, when they see it on the site, like I said, or see them for the first time, they say purple and violet. They don't look purple and violet when you're wearing them to the other person. So it's just a different, in the pictures on the website, they look a little more purple and violet, but that's the true color in photo light. But you'll see some pictures of people wearing them on the site, and you'll see that it's not, it doesn't look like you're going to be in an 80s music video or anything like that.
Awesome. Well, Gary, thanks for your time. Appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
Hey, it's Jason from Sub 70 Golf, and you are listening to the Back Nine Boys Podcast.
Welcome back to the Back Nine Boys Podcast. I'm Rich Stiles, and we are with Mark Raquel, the VP with Club Car. Club Car, as you know, supplied the carts for the Ryder Cup. And Mark, I got to ask you, you were in Rome for quite a while, a lot of planning, a lot of logistics went into that. How was it for you besides the outcome for the U.S. team?
Yeah, the outcome clearly was not what we were all expecting, but I will tell you, I thought the golf was incredible. That international team did just a stunning job in play. So it was fun to watch, but disappointing for the home team for sure. I will tell you, we had a chance to visit the facility prior to the event in June. So call it, what's that, 4 months prior?
Right.
And it looked like there was a ton of work to get done. And, you know, we were all a little concerned of, you know, will they actually make it? Well, I tell you, even building a road to get people in and out was also on that docket. So it was a big undertaking.
Wow.
But they finished it. We got there. Everything went off flawlessly. It took 30 minutes from downtown Rome out to the golf course. And again, they just did a great job. So overall, it was a fantastic event.
How was traffic? I mean, I never heard an attendance number as far as any of the broadcasts. Do you have any idea how many people attended this year's Ryder Cup?
Killers of the Flower Moon is now on digital.
Oh, my God.
From director Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro.
You got one more chance.
I'm coming after you, son.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Buy it now on digital.
Yeah, I would be guessing as well. But when we were there, I heard ranges of upwards of 200 to 240,000 people over the timeline. So that's a lot of people to move. And as you know, if you've been to Rome, it's very congested. So it's hard to move around in traffic. But like I said, the logistics that they worked out, the support of the local police organization just helped that flow in and out just flawlessly. They did a great job.
Well, you said you watched a lot of golf, and the European team played incredible. And the U.S. team kind of lost a lot in that first match where they were skunked 4-0. I mean, that was kind of the start, and it was hard to come back from that.
You know, they got progressively better. I would say it was that alternate play that was the biggest impact in the match.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned while I was there, and you may know this, is the Europeans grow up playing that way as juniors. That's how they play. That's how they learn the game of golf. So I think it's more natural for them than it is for the U.S. players. But I think we still did a good job trying to come back and get into the game. Certainly played wonderful on Sunday, but they were just too strong in this event.
Yeah, and I heard that the analytics that they did, and you might have heard this as well, that they found out that they did not want to get into a wedge game with the U.S. team because that was our strength. And so they kind of did the analytics and made the tees where they had 180-yard shots instead of 80-yard shots going into the greens.
Oh, yeah. The planning of the layout was masterfully done. They knew their data and they planned it really well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about back in the States. We've got something coming up, as we always do in March, the Club Car Championship. Everything all set for that?
Well, it's an exciting year for us. We obviously elected to take our extension year, so we carried on. We made that announcement. But since then, we also have made the announcement that we're going to do this until 2029. So we've extended our contract with the Korn Ferry and PGA Tour organization. So we're really excited about what's been happening out there and just seeing the game grow and obviously the partnerships and the community. It's been a great opportunity for Club Car to be involved.
Yeah, that was a big decision for y'all to start that a few years ago and to extend your contract. Obviously, it's been very worthwhile for Club Car.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And another big announcement, it's going to be on the Golf Channel.
Isn't that fun?
How did that come about?
That was super exciting. So that really came late in the game. Didn't have anything to do with the negotiation for the extension. Just a very nice surprise. And it was incorporated, obviously, into, you know, our contract fees and pricing. But, you know, again, we're excited to have that exposure. And it's certainly a testament to what the Korn Ferry organization has done to grow that that game, that event itself, to get the awareness and now to be broadcasted. It's really awesome to be a part.
So that means we're going to see you on TV doing commercials for Club Car?
Let's hope not.
Well, it's such a great event. Do you have any special things that you're planning this year that you haven't done before because of the TV?
Yeah. So we're still in the process of working out what that will be. We do have some events that we're going to be planning, and that'll get more exposure. But we're not yet ready to share that with the world today.
Okay. Well, I'll tell the world that that's on hold until further notice.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Speaking of planning, you're planning for next year on a lot of things, but also coming up is the PGA show. What's going on there for January?
It's going to be a great show again. You know, it's nice to see the PGA show really coming back to life since COVID. Big impact there, as we all know, but we think we're going to be back to full numbers from participation. So that's going to be really good. We've got some new products that we're going to be bringing to market that we're excited about showing. A lot of it around technology integration and telemetry. So that should be, you know, it's good for the operators, certainly around the golf side of the business. And then we have some consumer and some commercial products that we'll be demonstrating there as well, like our new Urban product and what we're doing from the Crew and the Gorilla product.
And can you talk a little bit about maybe add-ons to the Crew or your other product that you just mentioned that you didn't go into much detail about?
Sure. The Urban is probably going to have the majority of the show in terms of newness and what we're doing. This is a final mile delivery product that we're bringing to the U.S. It's a product that was essentially built for Europe, and it was through our acquisition of the Gorilla Malex organization over a year ago. So now we're bringing that to the States as we start to see, you know, the electrification of final mile delivery really growing here in the U.S., especially in some of the smaller municipalities. So we think this is a big product, and we're really excited about launching it here at the PGA show.
And what is in the future club car. I know research and development, working on stuff years ago to come up for 2024. Anything you can tell us about that?
Yeah, there's really, it's just expanding on, you know, what we've discussed in the past. You know, we've got three major verticals today, as we've talked about, with golf, you know, the consumer business, and now the commercial business. The golf used to be 90+ percent of our business, and today represents 49% of the business, if that gives you an idea of the growth of the other two, right? So significant growth to club car overall. And those two verticals of consumer and commercial just provide a tremendous opportunity for new product development. So we're really in the depths of expanding that product line. And you'll start to see that unfold over the next, you know, call it 1 to 3 years.
Is it because of the technology, because of the offerings, or is it just that that's where the markets are going?
Yeah, a little bit of all of it, I would say. You know, we were positioned well in the business of golf, right? So we had probably the right product, electric product, to scale that we could put into the market at the right price. So that offered us the ability to really move in the consumer and that commercial space. So I'd say that's a big part of it. And then, of course, with where the markets are moving, right, where you're seeing more and more automotive getting into the electric class vehicle, and we're seeing that into the truck space, we're seeing it in, you know, long-haul transportation. You're seeing a lot of that movement in the electrification side of the world. So I think we were positioned correctly to get into it, and now we're seeing the rest of the market start to change, and we're really getting sucked right into it.
Any new items or accessories for the crew?
If you're looking for somewhere to go, Calvert County, Maryland has surprises for you around every corner. Go discover, see and learn new things at our art galleries and museums with activities for all ages. Go eat at our award-winning local restaurants with options for every taste. Go explore, make your own adventure, and enjoy touring our beautiful walking trails, parks, and beaches. Discover more at visitcalvert.com/go and see why Calvert County, Maryland is the place to go.
Nothing that we're going to show at the PGA show, but yes, on the roadmap, and I'm happy to share those with you. We are looking at storage, obviously, for the crew. We're looking at towing capacity and towing options for the crew. Okay. And we might be looking at different passenger styling. So it could be that you might see a 4-passenger forward or a 6-passenger forward versus the current crew you see today. So those are all possibilities.
Wow. Exciting stuff going on for 2024. I'm especially thrilled for the Club Car Championship. And then it's also going to be tied in with the Golf Channel. I do want to go back a little bit to Rome. Did you have a chance to play the course or any courses in Rome while you were there?
Not while I was there. We did back in June, so we did get a chance to play it back prior to the actual Ryder Cup, and it was definitely a challenging course.
And I'm sure you played it from the back tees.
Well, yeah, of course. That's right. We won't tell anybody that. We won't tell anybody about that, Rich.
Well, you had quite a crew that you took over there. How many people did you take over to the Ryder Cup?
So for us, from the U.S., we brought about 20 key customers, but mainly the European crew was the primary, just like it would be in the U.S., right? So it's kind of like an 80-20 rule.
Right.
So a lot of our European team members, and as well as our customers, were there. We had a lot of our national accounts from the U.S. come attend with us. But, you know, again, just a special time to be with customers and watching a great event.
Let me ask you something. Let's go back to the PGA show. I've heard a lot of people since COVID talk about that it's really not as much of selling as it used to be going to the PGA show. That's when, you know, a lot of buys were made. But the buys are usually done like October, November. Do you find that true with Club Car as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I joined the company 10 years ago, Rich, we were already seeing that transition. Okay. I heard from a lot of the veteran members of my team that back in the day, this was definitely a selling event. Now it's really just an education and an awareness event. Again, we're getting opportunity to spend time with customers. We still do a lot of, you know, wining and dining, if you will. So we get great FaceTime with our customers. But yeah, it's more about just being with them and experiencing the show. It's not really about selling their next fleet.
So it's kind of, as you said, giving them more information about the products, maybe setting up appointments for, you know, later on after the PGA show, and just kind of getting the information out about what's coming out for the year and see where they are with their products and what they want from Club Car.
Yeah. And I would say that the folks that show up for the show are expecting that too, right? So they're coming to see what's new, what's hot, what can they learn. And so it's still a very important show. It gives us a great opportunity to show off, you know, what we currently have in market, plus what's on the roadmap that's coming. And then just giving some tutorials that you don't generally get to do, you know, when you're active out in the field. So again, it's an important event for us. It's great for our customers, and just the general population to come in and see what's happening in the game of golf.
Yeah. Plus you've got all your products there, and usually during a sales call, or unless it's a conference or specifically planned out, you don't have all your products there. And that's something that they can see at the PGA show.
You got that right. Absolutely. They can see the breadth and depth of the company itself.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough for being with us again. Exciting stuff from Rome. I'd love to see the pictures. Just thank you for being with us.
Rich, thank you for the invitation. I've enjoyed it again, as always. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. Thank you for being with us. We're on the phone live from Ireland with Gary O'Neill, talking about the 7 principles to a healthy body for great golf, the swing body connection. And Gary, I know there's a lot of discussion about what you've written about in here. And this is just something that you've put together. Why did you decide to put this together now?
Okay, so in my experience, and I've been at this now 27 years, the biggest problem I see with golfers is an inability of their body to move in an efficient manner, which will help them swing the club in an efficient manner, which obviously then helps with playability on the golf course. Unfortunately, a lot of golfers neglect their body, but expect to be able to go out and play great golf without putting the work in off the course.
Right. And a lot of golfers that I know don't stretch and have issues with several of the things that you're talking about in your book. Let's first talk about hip mobility. Very, very important in a golf swing.
Oh, absolutely. Like if your hips are not working in the manner that they're meant to, and that is, you know, your pelvis is not able to rotate and you can't turn.
Right.
Number 1, it's going to affect your ability to basically clear your lead hip and rotate through impact. You're going to find it hard to load. Also, what it's going to do is going to put a lot of pressure on your lower back, because if your hips aren't doing what they're designed to do in the swing, which is turn and rotate, well, your body's going to try find rotation somewhere else. So it puts pressure above it, your lower back, and below it in your knees. So what can happen with a lot of golfers is they've got pain in places that they shouldn't have, but they don't know why. Right. And especially around the knees and the lower back, hip mobility is absolutely paramount. You look at all the best golfers in the world, they've got great rotation through their hips. They can clear their lead side very well.
Well, and a lot of those pros that have the great hip mobility, you know, prior to playing, they're in the gym, they're being stretched, they're kind of working out a little bit to kind of make that a little bit easier. Most amateurs don't take the time to do that. What is one aspect as far as stretching that golfers can do that will help this hip mobility?
Yeah, like the biggest thing I see with golfers, and it's not just about stretching. We need some strengthening and stability there too. So
right,
strengthen your glutes. Basically, your bum muscles are part of your hip complex. So they're your hip extensors. They need to be strong, because weak glutes, well, that's a whole another thing to talk about in a minute, but that's not ideal. So you need to strengthen your glutes. But just give yourself some mobility in your hips so you can open up and turn better. You know, exercises like hip drops, 90-90, simple little things that you can do. They only have to take a minute or two. Like, we're not talking spending ages in the gym. This can be done at home, but spending a couple of minutes doing 90-90s hip drops, you know, glute strengthening exercise can make a massive difference into how you basically rotation, how much protection you put in your back and your knees.
And all that would make a huge difference. Let's go on to the next one that you talk about in the book, abdominal strength.
Yeah, look, one of my big pet hates is weakness in the abs. Unfortunately, most amateur golfers, sedentary jobs, sitting down all day, the muscles in their abs are getting, their abdominals are getting weak. So what's happening there is, number one, that's taking away stability of the spine. So you're no longer protecting your spine. So again, too many amateur golfers have back problems. Part of the reason is hip mobility, but also abdominal strength. Also, your abs being the middle of your body help connect you, basically your lower half with your upper half. So if you're trying to generate, you know, power and speed from the ground up and you've got weak abs, well, you're going to reduce the ability, should I say, to generate clubhead speed because you've basically got a weak link there that you need to obviously solve.
But you don't necessarily have to have a six pack. You just have to have some strength and the ability to help the hips get through with that abdominal strength.
Oh, 100%. Like, you do not have to have a six pack. Like, a six pack is just really low body fat. Trust me, most people don't ever get into that range of body fat anyway because it's not enjoyable or healthy long term. But as golfers, we just need to be strong. We need to engage or be able to engage our core while we're playing golf. So we need to just strengthen them. You know, there's a million and one different exercises that can be done that are very efficient at doing that. But having strong abs plays a massive, massive part in a really good swing, but also protecting the back.
And if someone doesn't have strong abdominal strength and they start working on it, how long would it be? I guess it depends on the exercises that they do, but how long would it be for them to gain that abdominal strength?
Weeks. You know, if you're starting from a basic zero, let's say, and you start training your abs a couple to three times a week, within a few weeks, you're going to notice the difference because straight away you're going to feel a bit tighter. So you're in that area, you're going to feel tighter. So all of a sudden you're going to feel, okay, yeah, okay, actually, I know I have, you know, some strength there. You're going to notice in your golf posture and your setup, you're going to notice your swing because you now be able to connect your body from top to bottom. So you're going to have a more efficient and repeatable swing. You're going to be in sequence better. So there's a lot of different things that you will notice after weeks. Now, if somebody maintains that over a lifetime, well, you know, all bets are off what you can achieve then.
Right, right. All right, let's talk about thoracic spine mobility, another important issue for the golf swing.
Yeah, thoracic spine mobility is, it's a very, again, it all boils down to not sitting down, being sat down all day. What happens is this going into principle seven is kind of linked to it, but we lose good posture. So what happens is we get very, you know, restricted in our T-spine. So when we try to rotate, we can't. And being unable to rotate obviously then affects our basic ability to play.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the exercises that, you know, you show is kind of bending down and reaching with your arm backwards. And a lot of people can do that, but then they don't do that during their swing.
Yeah. And that's the thing is most people, like, what I always call the path of least resistance, right? What we can do when we're trying to manipulate our body into doing something in a slow manner is quite simple for a lot of people. But when we then try to do it at speed, our body will always find a path of least resistance and it can only do what it's able to do. So unless we're, again, working on our limitations and our restrictions over a long period of time, your body will always go back to what it's only able to do. And especially at speed, like the clubhead or the swing is less than a second. So like, if you think about it, that's literally very quick. So if we've got restrictions in our ability to rotate through our thoracic spine, we're going to really notice it in our swing. So until we actually improve our range of motion and improve our mobility, it's not going to get any better.
Right. And one of the things that I always have to tell myself is get through the ball, which talks about weight transfer.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's totally important. And that's another one of your principles.
Absolutely. Again, a lot of this is all linked. Let's be honest, the whole body's linked from top to bottom anyway.
And
that's the funny thing is a lot of people don't realize that muscles in your upper body are linked to muscles in your lower body. Like everything is linked. And, you know, again, amateur golfers, like the great thing about technology is we know from force plates now what's supposed to happen in our swing and how much weight we should be transferring. what in an ideal world we want in our, we'll talk about our iron swing because, you know, it's where most people have a problem. So if we look at our irons, ideally we want to be transferring at least 80% in a full swing, 80% of our weight into our trail leg at the top of the backswing. And then as we can transition down through impact and finish off our swing, we want to get 100% into our lead leg. You know, the problem is most people can't do that because they don't have the hip mobility, they don't have the core strength, they don't have the upper body mobility. So what happens is we get stuck. So it can lead to hanging back as we get through impact. It can lead to reverse spine angle. It can lead to keeping the weight in the middle for most of the time, so you're not really transferring the weight at all. And that all leads to then big problems, obviously, with the golf ball. It's going to lead to dispersion issues, accuracy issues, ball striking issues, compression issues. So, you know, if we can't transfer our weight correctly, it's going to play a massive part in how well we hit the ball and then how well we score.
Yeah, and part of that is also if we're sliding or swaying through the swing. I think a lot of people really don't know how much that affects the ball flight, the ball direction, and the distance.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I would say well north of 90% of amateur golfers slide in their golf swing.
Yeah.
And excessively slide. Again, it's all linked. Lack of hip mobility, core strength, you know, they can't transfer the weight in an efficient manner. So instead of being able to rotate through impact, so there should be a little bit of a lateral movement in the golf swing, but there should be a small amount and then rotate, which we call clearing the lead leg or clearing your lead hip. But most amateur golfers can't do that. So they slide to the target because it's, again, path of least resistance. So as they slide, their club head is going through impact. It's only when they're three quarters of the way through their swing that their actually hips start to rotate. And that all boils down to limitation. So everything can be linked back to a lack of movement in the body, which affects our swing.
And Kerry, when people slide, don't you think, at least this is my thought, don't you think that when they slide, they think they're actually loading up their body to get into the ball and don't realize how much they're not loading their body to hit the ball?
Well, I always say feel and real are such a big disparity between feel and real. Like amateur golfers, like when I'm working with an amateur golfer, first of all, I do a full movement assessment with them to find out, you know, what's going on with the body. And then I'll do a swing assessment to see what's happening in their swing from a movement standpoint.
Right.
And they're gobsmacked to see what's actually happening in their swing when it's pointed out to them from what they're feeling. So a lot of times they feel, yeah, I think there's a bit of movement there, but, you know, I definitely rotate. And then you show them and it's just completely sliding through impact, and then there's a little bit of rotation. So, and it's all due to the fact that they don't have the body because they have too many limitations to swing in an efficient manner, and the sequencing gets knocked out.
Right. And then the other thing that you talk about is strength training. Now, we're not trying to get, you know, really built up or bulked up. We're just trying to gain some strength, which also helps swing speed.
Absolutely. And not only does it help swing speed, it actually helps to protect the body. Now, if you look at the average amateur golfer, roughly 95 miles an hour is the average clubhead speed for an amateur golfer. That's across all ages, all levels. It will differentiate between, obviously, different abilities and different age groups. Excuse me. But if you think about 95 mile an hour, if a car hits you at that speed, likelihood it's going to kill you. That's the amount of rotational force we put through our body every time we use a driver. Now, if we don't have the mobility and the strength or the muscle to protect our joints, knees, ankles, hips, spine, we're putting a massive amount of rotational force there. Now, you multiply that by all of our swings in a round, there's no wonder we golfers struggle so much when they're playing, but also after a round of golf. So doing strength training is actually going to help protect the body, but also then help create more clubhead speed. So you're getting a two for one there. So you're creating more clubhead speed, which means you're going to be able to hit the ball further, but you're also protecting yourself from injuries and issues.
Yeah, and sometimes strength training is not necessarily using more weight, but just doing more reps.
There's a lot of different ways. You know, as we say in, you know, the fitness industry, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And a lot of people think it's about lifting a lot of weight. Well, not necessarily. And right. There is progressive overload that needs to be introduced. But like, start off simple, body weight. Go from body weight, you can start bringing in bands. Bring bands, you can go into some dumbbells or kettlebells. Then you can start adding other stuff. But there's a lot of different ways of doing it. And again, it's all age specific and ability dependent. So different people will do different things. But one thing's for sure, some people might just do body weight or might do some you know, dumbbells just because of where they're at in life and what they're able to do.
Right.
And that's enough. And that helps to protect them. It helps to keep them strong and stable, but also then helps to create a little bit of clubhead speed, which is, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest thing most golfers want is enjoy the golf, hit the ball as far as you can, and protect the putty.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they go in to take lessons, which is our next topic, one of the things they want to do is be more consistent. And also they want to add distance, which they think comes from buying a new club that they've seen their pro play in a tournament that last week. And so getting lessons is also important to understand what you're doing wrong that you can fix in order to improve on all these things.
Absolutely. Like, in my opinion, all amateur golfers should sort the body issues out first, simply because when we go for lessons, let's be honest, what happens? We go for a lesson, the first thing we're asked to do is go hit a couple of balls. What's happening there is our pro, whoever it is looking at us, what are we doing? What way are we hitting the ball? Now, if we're full of restrictions and movement issues, what will happen then is said pro will find something to give to you that you can bring back to the course so you can actually have something that you can do. Right. Now, if you solve your movement issues first and you improve your mobility and your strength and your core and your rotation, now you're more coachable. So when you're getting lessons, it's a lot easier for them to help you swing better because you're able to get into better positions. You're able to do more things. But lessons are vital because at the end of the day, again, feeling real. What we think we're feeling in our swing isn't always real. So as you're improving your body, you also need to then get checked up on what's happening in my swing. Okay, let's address X, Y, Z. And it's just fine-tuning things then. But unfortunately, as you say, most amateur golfers are blinded by the marketing of the companies out there saying, well, this club is going to make you hit the ball further. This club is going to help you with this. No, the clubs don't do anything because at the end of the day, the club is only attached to your body because you're holding it with your hands. And whatever your body can do is what your body can do. It doesn't matter who you know, you could have Tiger Woods clubs. Well, for a start, that's not anyway, but you need to solve your problems first and then get your lessons to become more coachable.
Yeah, and then work on it. Hopefully it'll give you too much to work on in between. And then the most important thing I think is starting out is posture. I mean, you've got to have the right posture in order to get everything right in order to hit the ball.
Oh, absolutely. Like, as I said, one of the things I do with all golfers that I coach is I look at their swing because I need to analyze their swing to see what's going on. The first thing I'm looking at is their posture. How are they setting up? Are they setting up in too much C posture? So that is too much rounding of the upper back. Are they setting up in S posture? Too much arch in the lower back, too much rounding of the upper back. What is actually happening at address? Are they able to get into a good address position with good posture? No, okay, why? And then we do a full movement assessment to find out where their limitations are. And getting your posture right and your setup right is huge when it comes to your swing, because if you don't have good posture, well, that's going to massively impact your ability to swing efficiently, rotate correctly, and strike the ball with the precision that you want. Right. So if you're not, again, working on your body or finding out what's causing your limitations and fixing them, it's going to massively impact your posture. And that's especially pertinent on the golf course, whatever about being off the golf course and how you feel on a day-to-day basis.
Gotcha. And if somebody needs help with all this, how can someone get a hold of you?
So the easiest way to get a hold of me is either via social media. So Gary O'Neill, and that's spelled G-A-R-R-I-E. My parents decided to give me something unique. I know, yeah. The Golf Conditioning Clinic, which is my fitness business. That's I'm on, again, social media on Facebook. Or you can find me on Instagram, Gary_O'Neill is the best. Or Gary@thegolfcc.com is my email. So like, once you Google G-A-R-R-I-E O'Neill, you'll find me, because I think there's only two people in my spelling in the whole world. So it's one is me and then one is somebody else who doesn't do what I do.
Very good way to put it. Gary, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time. Appreciate what you're putting out as far as seven principles for health and for a better golf swing. Just appreciate you being with us from Ireland. Thank you.
Rich, my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.